Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson, your host for the show. Where are you going to live when you retire? Will you be able to afford to retire? My guest today had a look at retirement at a reasonably young age and decided they could retire early if they lived abroad. Some countries are welcoming expats with open arms. Have a listen and find out how you can make your dollar go a lot further when you choose to live abroad.
So to find out what it is really like to move to another country, today's guests are Keith and Tina Paul from Retire Early and Travel. They have relocated from the US to Cuenca in Ecuador. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Anne.
Thanks.
I like to start the show by getting a bit of background on my guests. Could you tell the listeners where have you come from?
Well, we started in the United States. We grew up in Michigan, lived in Florida most of our life, adult life, 24 years, and most recently we're in California in the LA area, Pasadena area.
So we moved from California to Cuenca, Ecuador.
I see. What happened to get you to move abroad?
Well, we both had very busy lives with our jobs. I was an executive in healthcare IT for all my life, and it was a very stressful job. And Tina is a naturopathic doctor and had a practice in California that was really worked really hard to get it open. And it was only open.
It was doing well.
Yeah, it was only open 2 years, but life was stressful. It was a lot of work.
So we went on a vacation to Guatemala, and lo and behold, we're sitting in the condo, we're looking for something to do, and up pops this thing, and it talks about the website. It talks about the 10 best places in the world to retire, and the place we were in was number 10.
Which was in Antigua, Guatemala.
Yeah, so we're thinking, okay, what's 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, through 9? And so we started researching. We spent our vacation in Guatemala. We came back home, and that was still on our mind, so we did a lot of research.
And we also met some expats in Guatemala, because quite frankly, we were never considering moving abroad until we met these people there, and they talked about what it was like to, you know, live overseas, and that kind of got our interests. And of course, it's always, you know, financial too. It's a big part of it is how can you manage it financially?
So, you know, we came back to the U.S. Keith started downloading all this research, you know, what were the possibilities? Because saying, you know, maybe we could do this. Maybe we could retire early if we just live someplace else. And to put it into context, our kids were living abroad. So our son at the time was living in China, and our daughter was in, I think, Spain.
Spain.
Yeah. So we were like, oh, we have no kids here. We have nothing keeping us. We don't have family in California. Everybody was back in Florida or Michigan.
At this time, we were 54 years old. So, you know, I was doing some research online, and in the U.S., there's this rule the IRS has called the 72T rule, which not a lot of people know about this. But what the 72T rule says is that you can retire in the year you turn 55 and have access to your 401k or your 403b penalty-free.
As long as you're working the day you turn 55?
Yeah, you just have to be working the day you turn 55. So most people think, you know, retirement plans are like, you know, the 403Bs and the 401Ks are like IRAs. You have to be 59 and a half. Well, that's not true. So this was like in, I think, June.
It wasn't even June.
Yeah, probably
when
when we were 54. Anyways, long story short, I turned 55 January 4th. And I think my last day of work was
January 7th or 8th.
Yeah, January 7th or 8th.
So backing up to how we picked Cuenca, though, we did all this research. We were looking for a walkable city. We were looking for a place with low humidity. After living in Florida, we didn't want to go back to the humidity. We really liked the Southern California weather.
The Hispanic culture.
Yes.
We knew a little bit of Spanish, but we definitely liked the Hispanic culture.
We wanted there to be an expat community. It didn't have to be huge, but, you know, we wanted to be able to have local friends and American friends wherever we moved. And so Cuenca kept on coming up number one on our list.
Yeah, we didn't want to be, we wanted a city that was big enough to have plenty to do because we didn't want to get bored. You know, for instance, Antigua, Guatemala, I thought was a very nice city. But after a week, we were just bored. There was nothing.
We did everything.
Yeah. So we still like to be active. We're young. We like to travel and just like to do things. So that's kind of how we came across Cuenca. I think it was like probably March or May or sometime in that time frame. And we came here, did all the research, came here in June to confirm that all the research was accurate. And I think
we fell in love. Yeah. After a few days, we said, yes, this is it. We were here 12 or 14 days, but we loved it.
We knew this was the right place. And then we came back in November before I retired and actually rented an apartment because when we came here, we wanted to have a place all ready to go and move into. And we were also shipping a container. So Ecuador allows you to bring one container in duty-free, no taxes. So we came here, got a place to rent, and then moved here. I think our day of entry was January 21st.
Correct.
And our container came about a week later after that.
Wow. That's a big change.
We also got our residency visas for Ecuador while we were in the United States. So we did all that work because we had, you know, 8 months to plan all this. So we did all that, as much as we could do in the U.S., which made it so much easier.
And the Ecuadorian government encourages expats to live there permanently?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
They have multiple visa opportunities, residency visa opportunities. You can put some money in a CD. They call that like an investment visa. If you bought a house, you could get a visa if you bought a house here. If you're a retiree and you have a guaranteed monthly income, you can't quote me, I think it's around $800 a month or something. It's not much.
Extra for the next person. Yeah. You know, maybe if it's 800 for one, then it might be 900 or 1,000 for two.
Yeah, something like that. You have to check. Or you could come in as a professional. And we came in on professional visas because we have degrees. You can come in on professional visas. So it didn't require us to put any money down for investments or for houses or anything like that.
And if you come here on a professional visa, it's not saying you're going to work. They just encourage college graduated people, you know, college graduates to come to the country. They would like if you work, but you don't have to work because neither one of us work. And I mean here in Ecuador.
Okay. So what compromises did you have to make with the move?
Well, you don't get everything. You know, it's not the U.S.
We were big Amazon.com shoppers, and you can't do that here. So, you know, they don't have, you can't easily get things shipped to you. There's lots of import taxes. One thing that Ecuador does is they put heavy import taxes on things because they want to encourage you to buy local.
And that includes things that come from Chile and Argentina, as well as the United States. They want you to buy Ecuadorian.
Which is fine. And,
but
yeah, and I mean, there's really, compromising, there's really very little that we can get here.
Right. But we did have to compromise in things like you're used to walk-in closets in the United States. You're not going to find much of that here. We had to have an oven put into our apartment because ovens aren't common here. But it wasn't huge things. There weren't things that we couldn't live without.
And the Ecuadorians are smaller people. So like buying clothes can be difficult because, you know, we're not large people, but we're kind of just normal. But it's difficult to buy. For a man, it's hard to buy anything shoe size over, what is it, nine and a half.
And for women, nothing over an eight, maybe an 8.5 once in a while. But so I can't buy shoes here. And I'm taller for a woman, so I can't buy clothes here.
But as far as, you know, I really don't feel like I compromise anything. We live a great lifestyle here. Ecuador is, I guess they would call it a developing country. But, you know, I have high-speed internet, fiber optic internet. You know, we live in a very modern apartment. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a lot of fun to have that. You know, Cuenca has two symphonies. There's multiple universities here. There's lots of museums. It's a great, great city. So I don't think there's much compromising here.
The cost of living, I suppose that's one of the reasons why you've chosen to go there.
Yes. It would have been very difficult to retire early like we did and live in California at the same lifestyle that we're used to.
It would have been impossible in California.
Yeah.
We would have had to have moved to someplace like Florida, Michigan, some place at a really low cost of living. But even there, we don't own a car here, so we don't pay car insurance or a car payment or gas.
Because we walk everywhere.
And if we do want to take a taxi, usually a taxi across town is $1.50.
Yeah.
And the bus is 25 cents.
Yeah. So the cost of living here, we're probably a little bit more because we pay a little bit higher rent than most people. Our rent is $700 a month.
Plus an Aliquota, which is like a condo fee of like 75.
Yeah. But, you know, other people pay, we hear $350, $400 rent. Now, ours is a little bit higher because we got a great location. We're like a 10, 15-minute walk right into the city central, and we're a brand-new apartment. We're the first ones living in this apartment. Our electric bill is about $45 a month. Our water is $9 a month.
Cell phones are $24.50 each, so $50 for the two.
For both cell phones, and what else? Groceries.
That just depends on, you know, what you eat and then also going out to dinner. We go out kind of a lot. But you could definitely get by on a lot less than what we spend here.
I think total cost for us is about $2,000 to $2,200 a month.
Right.
Is what we, yeah. And that's, again, we're living really well. I mean, that's, like you say, going out. And, of course, we're from California, so we love wine. So, you know, it includes our wine. And wine isn't real cheap here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, wine is not cheap here.
Right. Okay. Sounds living a fantastic lifestyle. Do most expats end up buying their own place?
I think it's about maybe 30% buy.
Yeah, and about 70% rent.
Right.
Yeah. We know people that, you know, we hear about people all the time. We see ads of people selling stuff. They go back to the United States because this isn't for them.
Or they came here and they never had grandchildren and now they have grandchildren and they decide they want to go back. Right.
Yeah. So I think some people, you know, want to rent so they're not tied down. But I mean, we have good friends that bought a house, remodeled it. It's great. We love it. And quite frankly, if something, the right thing came up for us, we would consider buying ourselves.
Yes.
Okay. So what do you do now that you've settled there?
Well, my motto now that I'm retired is if it's not fun, I don't do it. So, I mean, we just pretty much do everything that's just fun. I mean, we have busy, busy lives. I think there's times that we just want to, like I always tell my wife, I said, I hope we can maybe have a down weekend because we're always just doing stuff. Sometimes it's nice not to do anything.
We both learned to play bridge. We had never done that. And Keith started taking art lessons. He had never painted or drawn. And he's a very, very good artist.
Yeah, and that's something like
he just didn't even know.
Yeah, and I'm taking lessons from a pretty much really well renowned Peruvian artist who lives here in Cuenca, and I'm taking lessons from him very cheaply, and so that's something I'm loving. And what else do we do? And we socialize a lot. I mean,
most of our time is spent socializing, out with friends for dinner or different events.
And we have Ecuadorian friends too, so we do things with them. A couple weeks ago, I was at one of our Ecuadorian friends' ranch, and we went horseback riding up in the mountains. He has horses. So we're very, very busy here. And then we travel a lot, too. We love just traveling in Ecuador. We just got back from Vilcabamba, and then like 3 weeks ago, which is a city in Ecuador, actually a couple days ago, we just returned from Baños, Ecuador. It's a big adventurous kind of place to go.
It's north of Cuenca.
Yeah. So we like to travel a lot, which is, you know, why we have the travel blog.
And is that your way of helping others that may want to make the same transition?
Yes, we actually let people know that, you know, are you thinking of moving to South America or Ecuador in particular? you know, email us, call us. We've actually helped two or three different families who have moved here to Cuenca, and we'd be happy to help people do that.
And on our website, we have a place where you can mail us, and we actually say that there. If you have any questions, I mean, totally free. We just like helping people. And, you know, we have lots of experience, and we have friends that have experience, so we know who to, you know, who to talk to, who not to talk to. And
we know lawyers here, and, you know, if it's Ecuador, definitely we know the right people to put people in contact with.
Yeah. Our website, retireearlyandtravel.com, is really a website. It has a lot in there about Cuenca, where we live now, but it also has a lot about just all of our travels, because we love traveling and blogging about our adventures.
We also would like to help other people to retire early, and really young people. Young people need to think about this when they're first starting out in their first careers, you know, about saving money so that their money works for them later in life and they don't always have to work for someone.
I mean, quite frankly, if we would have known what we know now, we probably could have retired maybe 10 years earlier than we did.
We didn't save enough in our 20s.
Yeah, right. I mean, and we haven't even touched our retirement. Everything we're living on right now is just our savings. Matter of fact, when I came here, I sold my car. Just selling my car that I had, that money there would allow us to live a full year here in Ecuador.
Wow. How do you talk to people to pass this message on about looking at their savings earlier? How do you do it?
We do a lot through our blog. We write a lot of blog posts.
There's articles specifically on what we did and how we did it to retire early, you know, how we saved and just the different things we did. So there's some great posts out there.
It's a fantastic story, and it's really interesting. Do you know how many expats live over there, and are they mainly Americans, or where are they from?
Most of them are North Americans, which are American and Canadian, but there are plenty of Europeans. There are Chinese living in Ecuador. And what is the recent number we've run? 6,000?
Yeah, you're right. 5,000 or 6,000 expats in Cuenca.
But there's also 600,000 people, so we don't make up a very big portion of the community.
Now, the ambassador to the United States was here about a month ago talking to us, and he said there are 70,000 United States citizens living in all of Ecuador, which is interesting.
Very interesting. So could you just describe what it's like? Are you in the mountains? Are you on the coast?
So Cuenca is at 2,300 meters, or about 8,300 feet altitude. So it's kind of high.
It's in the Andes Mountains.
Yeah, we're kind of like, we sit kind of like in a bowl of the Andes Mountains. What's nice about it is you have great weather here. I mean, it's like always like in the 70s year round. Oh,
to tell you how great the weather is, nothing is ducked for heat or air conditioning anywhere. Yeah. I don't care if you're in a 5-star, you know, hotel here. There's no heat and there's no air conditioning.
Because you don't need it. And, right. So the weather is just so nice here.
It's a UNESCO heritage site, the city, and it's a very, very large UNESCO area. The whole El Centro is all part of this UNESCO heritage, World Heritage site.
So it has a colonial charm, and all the outside of the buildings, the old colonial buildings, have to remain the same. It's very nice.
There's tons and tons. We've lived here for going on a year and a half, and we haven't been to close to half of the museums here. And like you said, there's symphonies. There's lots of outdoor areas, you know, to walk and to, you know, enjoy the nature. We're probably by taxi, we're about 20 minutes from a national park where you can hike up into the mountains forever.
No, if you don't like that, if you want beach, Ecuador has beaches. We've been over to Salinas and some of the beaches on the coast, and beaches are very nice. You know, they have great, great beach and great ocean water, and the weather is warmer there. So we have all seasons here.
But we're not close enough in Cuenca where I would say that, oh, for the weekend, you can run to the beach. That's not the case. It's probably a 6-hour drive to the beach.
Yeah.
So if you're a beach person, you don't want to live in Cuenca.
Now that I am older, going to the beach is not so important anymore. I do remember many happy times when the children were younger, having some great beach holidays. I live on a farm now. As you can probably tell from this interview,
We've had lots of birds chirping in the background, as well as the farm dog letting us know he's around. Is there anything else you would like to share with my listeners about your great adventure relocating to Ecuador?
Well, too bad we didn't have this interview about 3 weeks earlier, because we were actually featured on House Hunters International. It's an HGTV show, and it's about moving here. We were just on that show. You can actually see it on our website, some of the behind the scenes, and we're going to hopefully post the episode as soon as we get a copy of it, kind of watch it. So that was kind of cool doing that filming. And
it aired in the United States on February 17th.
People should really think about, you know, living abroad. There's a lot of it just opens up a lot of different opportunities. And really, I think it could really make the difference depending where you live now, whether you could retire early or not. You know, something we didn't talk about is healthcare. You know, trying to have healthcare in the U.S. is so expensive if you're not working. Many of the physicians here, internships and the residency in the U.S. So healthcare here is really, really, really good. And it is like a fraction of the cost of the United States. Many people here don't even have health insurance. They just pay out of pocket. We know people who've had
even bypass surgery.
Yeah, like for a couple $1,000s total cost, which is like just unheard of. Healthcare here is really, really good. You can get insurance here too if you feel more comfortable having insurance. Yeah, so that's really important.
To know that you're happy with the level of service from the health professionals there, what would the average age be of the expats living there?
There are families here. There are plenty of families here, but we don't run in the same circles or whatever, so I don't really know too much about the families, but I would say most of the people are a little bit older than us.
Probably, 60. Probably 60 would maybe be an average age. But like we said, there are people here with families and kids.
We hear that demographic is actually really picking up, and that's the growing number of people that are coming to Ecuador, are families with children.
That's interesting.
Most of them have, you know, internet-based jobs, so they can come here and easily work.
Mm-hmm. And so there must be good schools there as well.
Yeah.
There are. There are public and private schools. There are international baccalaureate schools. I have a girlfriend whose son is going to graduate high school this coming year, and he is in an IB school, which is international baccalaureate school. So the standards for that worldwide are the same.
Right.
In Australia, in the United States, or in Ecuador.
Yeah.
It sounds like the world's turning into a global market. It seems like you can live anywhere and work anywhere these days.
Oh, and let me add this. People shouldn't be afraid about the language. In Cuenca here, not a lot of people speak English. You know, we traveled to Peru.
Cusco.
Cusco, Peru. There, every place we went into, people, you know, spoke English in all the restaurants and all that. Even up in Baños, where we just were, it's a little more touristy, people spoke English. So, but in Cuenca, they don't speak that much English. But it's amazing how you pick up things, and just knowing a few words, you can really, you know, get by. So I think, you know, the language barrier shouldn't discourage people. Even though we spoke a little Spanish, as soon as we got here, we enrolled in Spanish courses. It's great. And of course, you know, when you're immersed in it and have to use it, you tend to pick up things quicker.
Yeah, our level of Spanish just grew and grew. And I have to say, the Ecuadorians are very accepting of Americans or any other people. They feel flattered that people want to come from another country and live in this tiny country, Ecuador. And they love it. So they love that other people love it too.
Yeah, we also think we're strange. Why would we want to leave America? It's so great.
Oh, yeah, we've had people like that, yeah.
Well, thanks very much. It's been terrific listening to your story, and you can hear the excitement in your voices. You're obviously very happy.
Yeah, couldn't be more happier.
And you think it's going to be a long time there? You're going to be there till you're very old?
The good thing about retirement is we're not really making any long-term plans. As long as we still like it here, we're going to still live here.
We don't foresee leaving here anytime soon, but if we change our mind, we have nothing, you know, nothing to stop us from doing something else.
Well, thanks very much.
Yeah, and I encourage everybody to go out to our website again, you know, www.retireearlyandtravel.com, and some great posts out there and some things about, you know, what we did to manage to retire early. go out there and take a look.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ann.
Thanks, Ann.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.